Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Very welcome back again. This week's visiting critic is best-selling author Cathy Kelly. We've been having a chat already. We shouldn't be doing that. Cathy, welcome.
Thank you so much. Look, the two of us, if ever there were two people who like to talk, it's us.
You look great, by the way.
Thank you, darling.
I hope you weren't offended when I said you're rocking a kind of a Judi Dench look.
No, that is it. What's the word I'm looking for here? Compliment. The words is gone.
She's all in black, you see, and she's got a polo neck. And I immediately went, "Oh, yeah, she's dressing down James Bond today." That's what she's doing for the afternoon.
James, I'm just waiting for that role. You know, if they come in and they ask me to be the new M, I could do that.
You could pull it off. I was very surprised when we had a chat, and I said, "What are the things you don't like?" Because that's the whole thing of visiting critic. We get them out of their comfort zone. And she said, "Musicals." Going,
I know.
You're a writer.
But do you know what it is, right? I love the story and I want the story to belt along. And in the old musicals, because I grew up sort of reading and looking at the old black and white movies on the TV on a Saturday afternoon, if I could get my parents away from it. Wrestling was a big thing.
Okay.
I know, wrestling and snooker.
Wrestling and snooker in your house?
In my house, that's all I'm saying now. It says a lot.
Find out new things about you already.
There you go. And I loved the beautiful old musicals on one level, but the story would stop and they would sing, and that's my problem. So I remember going to see Cats years ago with my mother, and mother of God in St. Anthony. I mean, this was in the days before an Apple Watch, and we were up in the gods, and I was desperately trying to look at my watch, but I couldn't see because it was so dark. Yeah, it was the longest 3 hours of my life. I don't know if it was 3 hours, but it felt like three. And then
you were out for 3 hours.
So now
huge hit, Cats.
I know, but there's not much of a story, and it's amazing and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. But I'm one of those people who I need a story, and I get this sounds dreadful.
I know exactly what you mean. Even watching kind of Disney things when I was teenagers, because my sister was of that age, watching them. Yep. They would stop the story to have a quick song that never told you
anything.
That's it.
Stopping the story is the problem. And that's why I love Chicago. I mean, we used to have dance-offs to all that jazz in my house.
Okay.
And I was very upset when I got trod out of the dancing, because I kept thinking maybe I'd get to do all that jazz
Had big plans for Dancing with
plans,
the Stars.
Yeah, or that wonderful one about, you know, Jailhouse, where they're all clicking their fingers and they're going, he had it coming. Oh. Fabulous.
Some musicals, but generally you don't go to musicals.
No, wouldn't cross the road. So when I was asked to go to Hamilton, there was a part of me thinking, will it, you know, 3 hours, that's a long time, because, you know, since cancer, I have various sort of, you know, joint related issues. And I'm going, Janie Macaroni's, the 3 whole hours, you know, will I be the only person to walk out of Hamilton, you know, and after the interval? But
were people queuing to try and get tickets to get to Hamilton? They were sold out.
So they've never had anything sell out as quickly. Sold out in one day. Okay. And we got there and the buzz was amazing. Quite a young crowd. It was wonderful seeing this amazing young crowd, and people were all dressed up and the buzz was mighty. And it was incredible. I have to say, absolutely spectacularly incredible. So we filed in, and, you know, there were people near me who'd seen it 4 times, and I was going, "Ah, now, lads, what's wrong with you?" Now, this is on the first night, so they hadn't seen it in 4 times. They'd seen it in Chicago and in different places.
Oh, wow.
I know. And it started, and you have to know about it before you go. So I didn't know anything about Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that Hamilton was a very important founding father who was very in favour of a centralised government and centralised banking system. And we'd all these different states who were saying no. And he was saying yes. And he was super clever. He was an orphan and an immigrant from the Caribbean. And one of the big things in the song is immigrants get it done. You start to watch it. I had read up on the story, and suddenly it's there on stage. There's only maybe 22 people on stage. It's a very small cast.
All the time,
some of them do two roles.
And there is not a single spoken word.
Not a single spoken word.
It is all sung.
It's all sung, but the story moves along with this song, and the songs are fantastic. There is rap. But I mean, I quite like some rap. You can hear that sort of Eminem thing coming through. That in my head, I have sort of Eminem doing, you know, Lose Yourself. I could hear that in my head.
Oh, that's interesting. Yes, I never thought of that before.
But it was just so powerful. And it's the cast are all black or people of colour. And what they say is that this is a musical about America as it was played by the people who are American now. Honestly, the power of that, the power of this incredible young cast, amazing story, amazing dancing, and the costumes. Oh, brrrng. I want one of those corsets.
It's yes. The kind of modern music, isn't it? With the period look through the whole show.
Modern music, period look, and it is just phenomenal. I didn't notice the time going. At the end, I was going, we have to go now. Now, that almost never happens to me with anything.
And I gather in the run-up to it when you heard this is a 3-hour long musical, including interval of about 20 minutes, but it's a long commitment to be sitting down concentrating on the song.
It is a long commitment, but you know what? It worked, and I have the shortest attention span of a lot of people, of anyone I know, which I don't necessarily think that's a compliment. You know the way people say to you, I have a very short attention span, which implies, I just think that can mean they're rude and they walk away from you. That was someone said to me about somebody I worked with, and they said, oh, she's a very short attention span. She was a sort of a boss. And I said, we all have short attention spans. The rest of us aren't rude. We just stay and are nice, you know. But completely phenomenal. And there are tickets. There are still tickets in the sense that people have booked a year in advance and they cancel. I'll shut up now so you get a word.
Well, it happens, you see, when tickets go on sale and it's a year, things happen and they have to cancel. They're the only chance of getting tickets, though, aren't
they? They're the only chance.
And it runs until the 16th of November, which you got in.
Just phenomenal. I don't know if they have that scenario where you go up to Bord Gáis and you stand there and you hope someone doesn't turn up. I don't know if they do that.
I presume people try that. I don't know
whether
that works.
That used to be, in the olden days, that used to be what people did.
Is that right? One of the things about going abroad, actually, is they have kind of stand-up tickets for theatre, which are cheap and you can go in, and if you don't like it, you can leave and you haven't spent very much money.
Which is completely amazing. I remember interviewing somebody once and he wanted to be in ballet. And as a 14-year-old, he decided he wanted to be a male ballet dancer. And incredibly, he did this. He saw Nureyev in London and he kept going back on the standing tickets and he eventually performed in the corps de ballet with Nureyev.
Go away, really?
Yeah, how about that?
So if you give people access.
Give people go and access, do. This is it.
I don't think you need to know much about Alexander Hamilton before
I
this.
I think you possibly studied. Do.
Do you?
I think
because the rap sort of covers the spoken word bit and he literally explains who he is from the
They
very
do explain who he is, but I mean, for example, there might be sentences that you don't catch. It's one of those things where there's great speed in it, so you might not necessarily catch every word.
Right.
So you need to know what's happening in the story. So I think it's very good to have an idea who he is, and Wikipedia has so many pages on it. I give money to Wikipedia because
you
I
did huge research before this musical, basically.
But that's what I do. I went into hospital to have babies and I brought in 3 books. I mean, I'm a big fan. You know, when I got cancer, it's like, right, I'm going to be an oncology expert before I go in. That helps me. Is it weird? Yeah.
I'd say maybe the reason you liked it is because there's so much fast lyrics and chatting. The story moves all the time.
Story moves all the time. So it starts off in, you know, he's born in 1757 and it ends in about 1810. But a lot happens in that time. America goes through a lot. It goes through their own revolutionary wars. It goes through the war with Britain and France. So there's so much going on all the time. It's pumping along. And in that, there is a slight sex scandal. Is it too early in the morning to say that?
Well, he kind of opens up a lot, doesn't he? Is there swearing in it?
There's a smidge. There's a complete smidge of the odd one. Or sometimes they start to say a word that begins with F and they don't continue it. Which,
oh, I see.
God
loves
them in this country. I think they'd be all right.
The most important thing about it is there's comedy in it.
There is great comedy in it. And the guys, I mean, the guy who played Jefferson. Oh, my God, that guy, you know. Fabulous. He's amazing. You have seen this, obviously. You know.
It's a couple of years ago, actually, yeah. Is Jefferson played as a kind of a pompous...
Yeah, he's played... Yeah. No, he's sort of cool and he's got he's got a beard and he's got this amazing velvet coat and he's, you know, giving it everything and he's playing it up to the audience. He's fabulous. So there's great humour in it. And just the woman who plays... the guy who plays Hamilton is amazing. You would recognise him from the IKEA ad. He's this guy. Really? He's this beautiful guy with these fabulous freckles. Amazing. So he's the face of IKEA.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. He brings you into his pad. Shaq. What is his name? He is just superb. So there's the amazing Shaq. I'll find him here now in a minute. So Shaq Taylor and then Sam Oladiende, who plays Aaron Burr. So basically, start off with the two leads. Friends who are very, very important.
We should say Lin-Manuel Miranda, of course, who wrote the whole thing, was the original Hamilton.
He was the original Hamilton. So he read this book about Hamilton And he decided, this is so amazing, I'm going to write a musical about
people
it.
People don't know about this guy, they need to know.
They need to know about this guy. Because the scandal sort of flattened his career, and it just all makes for amazing reading. And but the idea of changing the cast and, you know, making it a cast of colour is what transforms it into this wonderful, powerful experience.
It's colourblind casting is what it begins with, which happened in the theatre for years, and Hamilton sort of popularised it.
Yes, I mean, it's sort of like having, you know, female Hamlets. It's saying, let's change everything. I mean, the one thing I would say is that there are maybe three big female roles. There's a lot more male roles in this. But then again, this was set in this 1700s when, women were staying at home. And his wife is very powerful in it, and she's a beautiful, beautiful singer, and his sister-in-law. But
I didn't like her songs as much.
Oh, no, I loved her songs.
Did you? They're the kind of nice, slow, gentle ones.
And no. His sister-in-law is like, she is fantastic. She is this amazing girl her name is Angelica. So his wife is Eliza, but Angelica fancies him, and she's played by Aisha Jawando, and she is powerful. She's actually in the Tina Turner musical. I mean, we've got to see that one.
The most important thing about a musical is, how do you feel at the moment that it's over?
Oh, I felt sort of bereft and moved.
Oh, really?
And astonished. And we were walking back to the car, and I was going, that was wonderful. It was just lovely and moving. I actually had tears in my eyes at the end, and I quite often have tears in my eyes because, you know.
And this is the woman who hates musicals.
This is the woman who hates musicals. But this is a modern musical for a modern world with this incredible cast. And I had the song, The Room That Had Happened, in my head for, I still have it in there.
I was going to say, that is the song, baby.
And you just, it just is thrumming along behind you, and you're just going, oh my God, I want to be there.
And usually in a musical, you have kind of like the winning score that would just be repeated the whole way through. This just manages to have so many hits.
It has so many hits. There are bits that, you know, one shot, you know, it's like he's talking about, I have one shot.
Very early on.
Very early on, talking about one shot. And that flickers in and out because there's quite a lot of jewels. This is the era of jewels.
Yeah.
The staging is amazing. You know, the way they can make it go backwards. They do this wonderful thing where they have a circular moving platform on the stage, which has a word for it, but I don't know what it is.
Circular moving platform.
Yeah, that's it perfectly. And they're on it, and they're going backwards in sort of, like, it's like it's in slow-mo, and they're taking us back. I mean, the staging of the whole thing. These are not normally things I notice about stuff.
I know.
But I'm noticing now. I mean, baby.
51551 for your text. This person said, I went to see Hamilton in London in the West End, I presume. I liked it. But as Kathy says, you need to know a bit of the story. My wife hated it.
Oh, no. But I mean, you can't win everyone all the time.
No class, no taste. Are you a singer, by the way? We know you've done a bit of dancing.
Yeah, I did. Please tell me you haven't found this. I did do singing once on when Ray Darcy had a nighttime show. Oh, yeah. I performed Marilyn Monroe's Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. It was for charity. I was doing it for UNICEF. So I'm involved with three charities.
Yes, UNICEF, you're an ambassador for UNICEF.
ARC Cancer and Breast Cancer Ireland. But at the time, I was doing this for UNICEF, which is... And also, I really wanted to dress up as Marilyn Monroe. I mean, let's not get away from this fact. So it was me, John Tracy, a couple of other people because I'm such a safe head, I can't remember, but I did sing. However, I can't sing, if that makes any sense.
Oh, right. It was more to do with the performance then, was
it? I can throw the shapes. And four lads got to pick me up and twirl me around, which I did nearly fall at one point. But sure, look, you know, it's showbiz, baby.
That's what you did. Charities are very important to you.
Yes. They are very important.
How did you get involved in UNICEF going back?
I got involved in UNICEF 20 years ago. My children were about one, and they were doing a book on, I hate this word, I'm going to use inverted commas here, celebrity families. And they were trying to raise funds with this book, celebrity families with their children. And I don't really approve of having your children in stuff, you know, for publicity. But I said, we have to do it for this. And from then on, I got involved, and I've been in so many places in the world with them. And the last place I was in was in Turkey in February of last year. And they'd had this series of horrendous earthquakes.
We remember, yeah.
So it was just, I went on a trip, just staggering. And, you know, 50,000 people died. Millions have lost their homes. So you meet all these incredible people who were living in tents, basically tent city.
Yeah.
And they're probably still in a tent city now.
I was gonna say, I don't even know what's happened in Turkey since then.
But this is the problem with, you know, the amazing work goes on and people like UNICEF are still working towards giving these people homes, giving them running water. I mean, the whole infrastructure of the area disintegrated and you had kids in classrooms, like kids doing the equivalent of the Leaving Cert in classrooms, trying to study their STEM subjects, and half the people they would have been in school for are now dead. So it's pretty shattering.
And Turkey is one of those countries that's kind of part first world.
Yes.
And they have incredible poverty as well.
They have incredible poverty, and certainly building, I think, probably didn't help because some of the areas they were not, I mean, earthquake.
That was the big discussion, wasn't it?
That was a big discussion at the time.
Poor quality buildings.
But I mean, it's about now, how do you help people rebuild their lives, these millions of people? And then the news caravan and the appalling things that happen in the world keep continuing. So, you know, we've got...
I was going to go here because it's very hard to quantify in our minds, isn't it, that kind of scale of death? And because we are generally moved, as we are in the West, when we hear, you know, about small charges, you know, road accidents and things like that, we dwell on.
Yeah.
But we sort of see them as a big fog, don't we? The kind of great tragedies elsewhere in the world.
It's so enormous to get your head around. I mean, I, you know, devour the news. I'll read 3 newspapers in the morning in bed online. You know, I want to know what's happening in the world, but it can be quite, it can be dark. I mean, and we're reading about Gaza, and on Morning Ireland, they had that amazing interview with Sarah from Tibnin in Lebanon.
Yes,
I was in Lebanon
that,
30 years ago with UNIFIL to see the troops in Camp Shamrock. Mm. And that was this quiet region. And now this woman has had to leave her home, leave her pets, go with her kids to Beirut. She'll maybe never get home. And that is a massive... I mean, we know. Look, I'm not going to talk about the politics of it, but in Gaza, 10 children lose one or both legs every day. You know, so that's, you know, that's one sort of thing that you can look at, and that's a UNICEF figure. So money is needed to help the children of Lebanon, to help the children of Gaza, to help the families in earthquake-torn Turkey, families in Yemen. It keeps going on. There are children, there are people living in Jordan who, you know, are still living in a camp after the Syrian war. You know, 86,000 people live in a camp called Al-Zatari.
It's nearly 10 years now since that
Nearly
war,
10 years.
2015.
So I was in Al-Zatari quite a few years ago. I'm sure it hasn't changed an awful lot.
How do you balance these things in your head? Because you're dealing with your own issues as well. And you were on with Brendan O'Connor earlier in the year talking about your cancer story. And obviously it was extremely difficult.
Do you know what? It's weird because I think it helps. It helps a lot to be able to compare and contrast. And it's not that there is an Olympics of suffering. So you don't say, well, that one gets gold, therefore I can only be in the runners up. So, you know, what is happening in your own life is massive when it's happening in your own life.
Yeah.
And I found chemo an absolute nightmare and I was very ill. And cancer is terrifying. It's a life diagnosis, as someone put it to me. You know, it's now part of your life and you have to work within that. But at the same point, I think it's good to be aware of what is going on in the world because it gives you that humility.
Right.
And, you know, and even in cancer world, you know, when I was diagnosed, I didn't have small children. Imagine having breast cancer and having very small children thinking of that, the fear. My children were 20. Now, they're now 21 and I didn't want to leave them. And we're all going to leave. Life is a terminal disease.
You've certainly been figuring that out.
I've been figuring that one out.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's I've been very, very lucky. I choose to think that I'm lucky despite everything. When you get off air, I'll grizzle and I say, my hip is killing me because of these drugs. But, you know, I'll moan for 5 minutes and then
that
I'll move
is
on.
Because you can say that you're doing well, but the drugs are constant and they have constant issues.
Yeah, some people don't, though. I met this wonderful woman who has no problems and I was going, damn, I'm doing something wrong here, you know. But that's everyone's experience.
Everybody's
is different. I'm so lucky to be involved in all these amazing charities.
But it was just as difficult, wasn't it, telling your own kids, even though they're grown-up kids?
Oh, it was incredibly difficult. That was what worried me. When I was sort of diagnosed, I was going, right, that's grand now. I've looked it all up. I know what's happening. But, oh my God, how am I going to tell the children? How am I going to tell beautiful PJ who you've met?
Yes.
You know, how am I going to tell my mom, my brother and sister? That's huge. I'm a coper, though, you see. So I worry about the other people and you know, I know I'll get through it, but helping them get through it is, it's difficult. It's a dance. Another dance. You see, we're back to the dancing.
A good dance.
It's a good dance.
It's a good dance.
I'm lucky it's been a good
and
dance.
And because your mum is still, because you're young enough to have, your mammy's still around.
Mammy is still around.
That's a strange dynamic, isn't it? To be the daughter and tell your mum that you're not well.
That is very weird. I think it was incredibly difficult for my mum. And she's an only child, so she doesn't have siblings to sort of bounce it off. And yeah, I think it was hugely, hugely difficult because you're always a child to your mum, aren't you? As you, yeah, you know, yeah, yourself.
And it's kind of, you don't want to devastate your mammy who's,
I know,
still yet, minding you.
Still, but you can't. You have to say, do you know what? My hair's going to fall out. God love her. She found it very hard to look at my baldy head.
Ah.
Because, you know, it's the ultimate sign of someone being sick. And I did is, look yeah. quite rotten. I looked like an alien. Have you ever seen that hilarious film with, oh God, brrr, it'll come to me. Alan Rickman was in it.
Oh yeah, the Galaxy one, Quest.
Oh, isn't it just fabulous?
That's great crack.
So they go to the island.
Sigourney Weaver.
Oh my God. And she plays Dusty something with a push-up bra and completely fabulous. What's the name of the guy? He was in Home Improvement. Anyway, he was, I went to, oh God.
Tim, what's his name?
No, something like
Buzz
that. Tim Allen.
Tim Allen, there.
I went to Disney World to enter in Disneyland with a beautiful man from the RTE guide, Michael O'Doherty, to interview him. And yeah, he was lovely. But there's a very funny scene in that film where there are little weird aliens on a planet and they're bald and they look cute funny. And suddenly their teeth come out.
Oh no.
I looked a bit like them. Okay, on that happy note.
Did not expect Kathy Kelly's cancer story to go to Galaxy Quest.
Well, there you go.
What we're going to come back to you in a second because we're going to take a break. There are loads of messages here. We're going to come to those as well. But one break before we go. Kathy Kelly is still with us here. We've loads of messages, Kathy, on this one. I knew someone said this. Remember, we were calling it, what was the circular turning stage? It's called a revolving stage.
There you go now.
And
I knew it was
designed by an Irishman, an architect, and later theatre designer, Sean Kenny from Nina in County Tipperary originally. The revolving stage is an innovation that transformed theatre staging and design internationally.
I can totally see that because it changes everything.
Yeah, I saw 12 Angry Men and the stage pretty much revolves almost all of the time.
Well, you're not
and
dizzy.
It puts the different perspectives because it's around the table. A little bit too much, maybe, yeah, too much.
Okay.
Oh, great, aren't we? I have seen Hamilton 3 times, says this texter, twice on Broadway, then with this cast in Manchester last January. They are better than the Broadway actors. Truly amazing. I'm thrilled. There's a student-only performance next week where they offered school tickets for only €10.
Fabulous.
How lucky am I get to bring 100 young people from my school to see this incredible production next week. That's from Orla from the Louis in Dundalk. Someone says, I'm a lover of musicals, music teacher who has seen practically every musical. I watched 20 minutes of Hamilton on Disney Plus and turned it off.
Ah, no. It's a musical thing. It's a different thing. Or maybe you don't like rap.
The person says they're a lover of musicals. Maybe it's the rap. Took our teenage daughters to see Hamilton in London 2 years ago. And only say it was the most wonderful experience.
Yes.
Now we're back. Saw Hamilton in London, had done the background research and so on. Thought it was completely overhyped.
And
slick
now.
Production, totally forgettable. If you fail to get a ticket, congratulations. Money saved.
And now, do your gratitude list, pet. You'll be all right tonight when you do your gratitude list.
You're very grateful for the lovely PJ who you briefly mentioned there.
Beautiful PJ, I know.
Lovely PJ.
I know, isn't he a doe? She said to say hello, yes.
Where did you find him?
Well, you know what? He fell off his motorbike. It's a very long story, but he's a beautiful, tall, gorgeous man who likes motorbiking. And he is, as we speak, he is lecturing in ethics in Griffith College. It's fabulous. So
have you made up PJ? No, because I've met
PJ. No, he's a real human being, but you could imagine
Motorbiking tall man. Lectures on ethics.
Went to Oxford and speaks fluid French and German. I can't speak any of them, so I don't know.
At this stage we're going, oh, Kathy Kelly's 24th novel is really going off the rails.
I know. They're going, oh, jeez, what's wrong with the woman? No, he's very beautiful. So we are motorbiking, yes. He's a big motorbike fan. He's been on motorbikes for years.
And because cancer happened 2022, he was very recently in your life as well, just before that.
He was just before that, and I swear to God, I'd be dead if it wasn't for him. For
start
him and darling
things, don't you?
Darling Dylan, my son, who was there. Asha, listen, life is mad. You know, you have to. Things come into your life when they're meant to. That sounds all weird, but yeah, I. It was beautiful, completely beautiful. So we're going off on a holiday on a motorbike. The only problem is I'm a notorious overpacker.
Okay.
And if anyone has ever seen a motorbike, they know that there's not a lot of room in those little pannier things. Yeah,
you can't put your trunk on the side.
I know. You see, I really need a Louis Vuitton trunk coming along behind me. I don't have one, obviously, but you know.
After
I pennies
surely,
like everyone else.
You should surely get one. But I would have said that would be way out of Cathy Kelly's comfort zone to go. And these are long trips on a motorbike.
These are long trips. You see, the thing is, people have a very weird view of me. For a long time, I was this pink, fluffy queen of romance, is what they used to say. And everyone would ring me for Halloween, for Valentine's Day. Similar vibe. And they'd say, what are your tips for romance? And I go, I'm not at all romantic, because romance implies this sort of fakeness.
There's also lots of horrible people in your books.
Yeah. Well, there is that. There can be the odd horrible one. You know, you get stuff in there. And but I'm not.
But you're not like that.
That's not who I am.
But you weren't a motorbiker, I presume, until PJ came along.
Well, my brother used to have a motorbike, and he'd bring me to the Sunday World in the morning. I don't know if I had a helmet, to be honest with you. Then was back in the days, you know. Like, they didn't even have seatbelts in cars then, you know.
True.
And I'd say, don't go fast. And he'd go fast for dizzlement. But no, PJ is an angel. And we have you can get motorbike airbags. So you wear them and you look a bit like a mutant ninja turtle. And you attach this thing to your bike. I'm explaining it very badly. Oh. And if you get thrown at high speed off the bike, this thing inflates and protects your neck and your back. Bada bing.
That's amazing.
There you go now. So
it is one of the most dangerous pursuits, unfortunately, isn't it?
It is indeed.
And these are the slow kind of big long cruising bikes. I know. Using terms that probably don't exist.
It's not. Well, what is it now? It's a, oh God, I'm going to be killed. I'd be fired off the whole motorbike
world. The one you lean back
world.
In.
It's the, I know, it's not one of them ones. You mean hardly able to? No, it's not one of them. Although I do have a fancy for, so we're doing a trip with the wonderful Overlanders, and they're down in, I think, Wexford, and they send your bike off wherever you're going.
Oh, yeah, and then you show up.
And then you show up and you get on
the bike. Going to like North African places aren't you? How long will you be actually biking?
10 days.
Oh my God.
But you see, I go away on UNICEF trips. You see,
so you're in a hotel
you're
night,
in a hotel at night, and then
you're on the bike all day long.
You're on the bike. Well, it wouldn't be all day long. You know, I wouldn't be able for that, to be honest.
Do you have your own bike, or are you behind him?
Jesus Mary, I'm 5 foot. You can't get a bike for a 5 foot person. I mean, that's
jeepers is what she said. Jeepers, by the
sorry,
way.
Sorry,
I'm so
sorry.
No, it was jeepers. It was an accident.
I did once get told off on a television program.
Oh my God,
doing cooking.
Here, you see, we are chatters. I have to go for another one last break before we go. But sit where you are for a wee seconds there now. Most out of time. Cathy Kelly, someone just said they rode a motorbike across Africa, 2,500 kilometres. Did they just say they're glad to be alive now?
Well, Jesus Mary. Sorry, I said it again.
Enjoy your jeepers. You want to mention another charity, by the way?
Well, do you know what? I work with Breast Cancer Ireland, and I also work with ARC, who are incredible, and they have a Torch of Hope walk, and it's in the 13th of October. Go on the ARC. They were wonderful to me because I got a lot of acupuncture from them when I was doing chemo, and I thought, I might die, but I had free.
Definitely worth mentioning. And Hamilton is running at the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre until the 16th of November. It is sold out, but there is limited availability with the cancellations. Ticketmaster.ie has the details. Sisterhood is Cathy Kelly's 23rd novel. It is out there and people...